Good, it's a lesson that I heard today. I learned some of them today. You're interested. Salam alaikum.
So we haven't covered on how to properly clean out a...
I have no idea how to clean out a shofar. Not a halachic issue. We said we can't use urine. That's the halachic issue.
Right.
Okay. So you can't use urine. Everything else is good. How to go? I don't know. That's the mumchim. I'm not a mumchim. So, we're talking... Okay. We're Tafkuf Peichet. Tafkuf Peichet. Mishnevure. One second. I wanted to say some things from here. We're going to learn. I'm skipping one halacha. We're learning halacha. Hey, by the way, yesterday we learned some stuff. I wanted to add. Not yesterday. I'm sorry about yesterday. I really wasn't feeling well. The day before I wasn't feeling well. If you could see on my face, then. Huh?
It's going around.
Yeah, whatever. A little better today. I just wanted to say. You can't take two shofars and put it to your mouth and be yoitze. You have to have one shofar. You have to hear one blow. A blow from one shofar. Halacha brings down what we skipped, that if you take a shofar and put it inside another shofar that looks nice, sometimes you can make it like one has one color, another color. It's kosher as long as the mouth is sticking out and also the other edge is sticking out a little bit. Then you're for sure hearing the shofar that you're blowing. But if not, so some of the echo is out of two shofars. It's a problem. You have to hear only out of one shofar. Set up, not echo.
What is the halacha of women blowing shofar?
A woman, soon we'll learn about who could blow shofar. Soon we're going to talk about.
Okay.
That's okay.
The question.
Right?
Maybe a woman could blow
up
a woman.
The mice, a mitzvah you're not obligated in, you can't be moitzi anyone. We'll see soon in the halacha. A woman is not obligated to hear the shofar, therefore...
They'll blow, but they're obligated to hear it.
No, they're not obligated.
No, obligated.
There's no mitzvah to blow the shofar.
No, to hear it.
No one has, even you don't have a mitzvah to blow the shofar. You have a mitzvah only to hear the shofar. What could we do? The way to hear is to blow it. You don't have a mitzvah. That's what we said, we went to the beginning. The bracha is, Hashem commanded us to hear the blowing of the shofar, not to blow the shofar. Yeah?
It's just...
Megillah is a mitzvah.
To hear.
The mitzvah to lay in the Megillah. Right? There's no
mitzvah.
To read it. To
read
it.
To
lay in the Megillah. Shomei HaKoyin. If you hear it, it's like you're reading it. So, anyways. If you have two shuls right next to each other and they're blowing at the same time, it could be a lot of problem. One second, which are you hearing? Are you hearing them? And this.
Oh yeah, it really gets awkward.
It's kind of confusing. So if you have two shuls happening at the same time, mamash.
When there's only a space this big,
okay.
And the doors are open.
This is a baya. Some say it's a problem, and you should try to talk. The gabayim should talk together that they won't eat exactly the same time. So.
When you have a In parts of Yerushalayim, they have what they call minyan factories.
Yeah, but also in Rosh Hashanah?
They're in different spaces. They're in a great big building, which is carved up into different spaces.
Yeah, so close the doors and windows and then try to focus. What do you do?
What are the chances of blowing the exact same time?
Yeah, usually you're right. Usually it's not.
No, but it gets really confusing.
But sometimes you have a Ashkenazi and Sephardi minion.
Right.
That's at the same time. They can have a problem.
That's what we have.
That's usually very common. In Uman also we have. Upstairs we have the Ashkenazi. That's the Sephardi. But it's you don't really hear the Sephardi so much. It's a big building. Huge building.
No, but for us it's like this much space difference.
Another thing is that a shofar has to be... You can't put anything on a shofar. Shofar has to be just the shofar. You can't now put all kinds of drawings on it. You don't do that. Gold, silver. Why? Because the sound is affected. the sound is affected. It's pashut, no? If you have a metal thing on it, when you blow, the sound is affected. Okay? But you let it carve into it itself. You can let it make nice decorations on the shofar from the shofar itself. When you heat it up, you can play around with it.
You can also polish it, buff it.
Polish it, yeah, all the things, whatever you do. You can do everything to it, but only it itself. Because the sound should be for it, even if it's very thin. You could make it very, very thin, like paper thin. And by as long as you can blow the sound, any sound we said is kosher from a shofar. As long as it's a sound from the shofar itself, from one shofar itself, and not from things which are added onto it, or from two shofars, or this, that, that's for the shofar itself. So, now, Halacha Hey says over here, Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah Shechayot B'Shabbos, right? The first day of Rosh Hashanah which falls on Shabbos, the second day never falls on Shabbos. Why not? Because the first day can never be Friday. We have a rule, right? Lo Adu Rosh. Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday can never be the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Yeah? So, if the first day of Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, it happens every once in a while. So then, En Tokim B'Shofar, we don't blow the Shofar on that day. We blow the Shofar on the second day. V'asur l'taltelo, the Shofar is mutzah, you can't move it. In lo l'tzolv b'fo mekomo, the only reason you're able to move it is if it's on the table and you want to eat, now it's bothering you, then you let it move it. Okay? Or it's sitting on the table and the sun is beating right on it. Okay? And it'll be destroyed, you let it move it. But otherwise, or you're afraid it's be stolen, right? It's on the windowsill, and now you're afraid it's still at night, you let it move it. Otherwise, it's like any other muksa object, which on Shabbos is still the touch.
Do you have to use a shinui to move it, or can you move it regularly?
You can move it.
Take it out.
Okay, move it away.
Is that why Rosh Hashanah is 2 days? Just in case falls on a Saturday?
What?
Is that why Rosh Hashanah is 2 days?
No, no. Rosh Hashanah is a different reason. The Machlag is why Rosh Hashanah has 2 days. There's a different reason why. Because also in Eretz Yisrael we have 2 days. But in the Mishnah, in Beis HaMikdash, it has 1 day.
It's rabbinic,
right? 2 days
is rabbinic.
Yeah, the first day is the Ikah. Also in Kabbalah, there's only in 2 days, because the first day is a more harsh judgment, right? And the second day is less.
First day of Rosh Hashanah is Aleph Tishrei?
Yeah, Aleph Tishrei.
Because usually Rosh Chodesh, first day of Rosh Chodesh is the last.
Tishrei always is Elul is always 29 days. Always. In our days. Right. If they make it like that, that will be always 29 days. Av always 30. And Elul always 29, Tishrei always 30, Cheshvan always 29, Kislev sometimes like this, something like that. Also Teret.
There's no Rosh Chodesh on Tishrei.
Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh. We don't do Birkas, we don't bless the month also. No. We don't mention Rosh Chodesh. It's a good thing that Rosh Hashanah is on Rosh Chodesh. Why? Kadosh Baruch Hu also is doing tshuva. It says that Kadosh Baruch Hu does tshuva on Rosh Chodesh for the moon, that he diminished the moon, he made the moon small. So it's a good day. So he says, tshuva, so we're doing tshuva together. We say, well, why don't we blow the shofar on Shabbos? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Gzeir Hashem Yiklenu Biyodoy, Lelech Etzel Bakid, Limol Yadrin Arba Amos Mishusar Abim. Vatzeh Mitzvah Deo, I said, why? Because we're afraid, a person might take it to go learn by someone else how to blow the shofar. And he might take it in Rosh Hashanah, but there's no Eruv. And he'll be over on the Oraisa. Therefore, a person, that's why we don't blow the shofar on Shabbos. The same reason we don't lay the Megillah on Shabbos. If Tesh Vav is on Shabbos, and the Yerushalayim can happen, then we don't lay it on Shabbos. We lay it on Friday. Same reason. A person might come and move it on Shabbos, they go to learn at a lane, Zabaya. Okay. So, we're going to go on to. So, look at 1 second. See if he has here for us. So. Okay. So now, talking, Tafkuf Pei Tes is talking about Mi Hem Haroim Tkiat Shofar Vodet Zifim. Who are the ones which are fit to blow a shofar? That's what you asked, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the first rule which I told you already that Allah is Kol she'eno mechuyav adavar eno motzi acherim edei chovatam. A person who's not obligated in the mitzvah cannot make other people yotze in the mitzvah. A woman, since she's not obligated in shofar blowing midoraisa, therefore, because it's time bound, right? Therefore, she cannot be yotze anyone to blow in the shofar. We'll see in a second here. Okay. So yeah, he brings all the halachas over here. We'll see in a second. A woman for other women, he says it's okay. Who says it? Ali Chos Beisa. Shalom Zaman Arbach. So we'll see you soon. Says in the Mishneh Berurah, She'enu mechuyav b'davar. Aynu she'enu mechuyav b'etzem. Pirkamei. אבל אם הוא מחויב יש לצד המצווה יכול להוציא אפילו ברור בשביל חברו if he's not obligated בכלל but if he's מחויב but he's already he was יוצא then he can make a bracha for his friend like the Megillah a person who hears he davenates and he blew the shofar and then he's going to second wind and he's blowing the shofar again there or by other people he can make a bracha again not that he's not obligated now he's not obligated at all question is by an oinin. An oinim is someone who's one of his relatives died, and now he's busy with the burial, taking care of the dead, this and that. You know that an oinim is patur from all the mitzvahs. He's not obligated in blowing the shofar. Can he moitzi other? So halachically, he should hear the blowing the shofar anyways. But can he be moitzi someone else in the blowing the shofar? So he says here. Okay. Yeah. Now he can be moitzi someone else with tkiyas. He should hear the tkiyas, but he cannot be moitzi someone else.
What if there's no one else around the blow?
He can't be moitzi.
So yeah. He's.
But if there's no one else around, okay? Im ein ba'al tokeh acher, ela oinen, then he can blow because there's no one else to blow. Some say, but he shouldn't make the bracha. Some say also, if they're not dealing with the burial now, only after davening they'll be taking care of the dead. A lot of burial on Yom Tov. Yeah? Only after the davening take care of it. So it doesn't have a din oinin. What's an oinin? Why is there a law of oinin in Judaism? So, because it's very, very important. Both in the halacha, also in Kabbalah, to get the person, the body, as soon as possible into the ground. As soon as possible, not to wait for a moment. The only place where we wait is by a kavod of the mace. When? For example, if he's a big rub, and a lot more people will come if they wait a few more hours. Fine, so we'll wait. But otherwise, no, we don't wait. I heard that if a person would have known the importance, how important it is that he will be in the ground after he dies immediately. Okay? He will go and wait by his grave, the grave plot, wait there until he dies and roll right in. Just so he's immediately in the grave. As soon as possible. Whoever knows him when he was nifter, he wrote in the will, he's going to bury me as soon as possible. Everyone should write it in his will. There it is, as soon as possible. Don't wait for anyone. Don't wait for my children if they're in chutzlaus. Don't wait for this. Don't wait for anything. Tahara, and there is straight to the ground. As soon as possible. 4 or 5 hours in front of the tira. As soon as possible.
You
have to make sure he's dead. Make sure he's dead and then put him
in. Yeah, I have a story about that.
As soon as possible.
Yeah, that.
But even then, it takes a few hours to do a tahara.
Yeah, it usually takes, in Israel, the shortest they do is 4 or 5 hours. It's fast. My grandfather, remember, that's how it was. For 4 hours, he was on the spade already. 4 or 5 hours, not more than that. It's very fast. My father was very surprised, because they asked the Chela Kadisha that they want to bury him before Shkia. He died in the morning. In the late morning. It was the summer. Like now, he died, it was Elul. And he died at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Shkia was by 7. By 7 he was already covered. 5 hours.
That's good.
Yeah, chick-chack. Chick-chack. Shkia was around 7 o'clock like now. Almost like now, yeah. 7:15 maybe was Shkia. By 7 he was in the ground.
Is that Indian to bury them right away? Only in Line or
No. Throughout the world. Throughout
the world.
Yeah. The body wants, the body suffers, the neshama suffers when the chitzanim, the outside forces.
Spiritual forces.
Wherever there's kedusha, and kedusha leaves, that's where they grab onto. And the most holy thing is our neshama. When the neshama leaves, that's where it has places to get. That's why we have to wash our hands in the morning, because part of the neshama leaves, and that's why the chitzanim grab onto it. And that's why we wash our hands to get rid of it. Mot chashuv. By a maid, by a goy that dies, also has tumah, only if you touch him. But if you hover over him, nothing. If you're in the house with him, nothing. Why? Ask dusha, because it's a human being. But not as much. Not like a Jew. Okay, the kitzu. I'm not going to talk about that, but anyways.
My problem is that you're a person. So, my wife had to fly from Baltimore to Atlanta, Georgia. And she flew, she went from the airport to the funeral, to the grave.
Okay.
The burial was there. And then she went back to sit Shiva for 1 hour.
Why only 1 hour? Oh, because
you're
Arab Pesach.
Yeah.
Yeah, Arab Pesach is sit only with us.
So,
there's no Shiva.
Somebody, they brought over all her meals for Pesach. And a rabbi came and sat with her for 1 hour.
So, they get up. But if someone dies on the Chag, then you wait till after the Chag and then you sit a whole week. Which is now, at Dafayim, you just limp it all. Eilu Megalchim, Eilu Megalchim. Top. Vaita. If someone, the doctors, told him that he's not allowed to blow, it's dangerous, he's about to keep for years, and now he has a lung condition,
emphysema.
What?
Emphysema, for
whatever that is, a heart condition, emphysema, whatever you call it, and now the doctors told him, Aslicha Habibi, you cannot blow, you cannot blow, and he goes and blows, not only he's not Yotze, he's not Moitzi anyone with him. You can't go against the doctor. That's all you're dangerous here? Don't do it. What? They know or they don't know?
Like, you wouldn't tell them, you know.
And afterwards they find out? Yeah. They have to go hear from someone else without a problem. Yeah. Now, kids. Okay, now we're in bit. It says here. Cheresh, shoite, v'koton, p'turim. Someone who's deaf, someone who's insane, and someone who's a little boy, he's under 13, he's patur, he's not obligated to hear, he's exempt from hearing the blow nishah. What's cheret? What's a deaf person? Afilu medaber v'eino shomen, and it's usually in the Talmud, in the Gemara. The Gemara says cheresh, it's someone who doesn't hear and doesn't speak. He's mute also. Here, the Mechaber is telling us, no, cheresh that we're talking about here is also someone who can talk. He just can't hear. Yeah? Since he can't hear, he can't invite anyone. But someone who can hear and cannot talk, is mute, can be mighty everyone. Why? Because he can hear. If he can hear, good. Someone else will make the bracha and he can blow. There was a story. I don't remember which Tana it was, that he had two people in his neighborhood. They used to come every day to the shir for years. They come to the shir, but they're mute. No one knew anything that they know. They used to come and sit in the shir every day. Two people. Brothers, not brothers, I don't know. And someone of the rabbis told the, why don't you daven for them? They won't be mute anymore. So he davened for them and they were cured. And they checked them and they saw that everything, they knew everything. They knew everything they learned. Even if they couldn't talk. Maybe it helped that they couldn't talk. So it says here in the Mishnah Berurah, the Katan, we said it's Patu also. Afinu ben yudgim l'shana, kol zman shalei adinu shehivi shtei seorot, eno chol itkol l'otzi acherim. A boy, even though he's 13 in age, if you don't know he has two pubic hairs, he cannot blow the shofar. For others. For himself he can blow, for others he cannot blow. He has to know that he has two pubic hairs. It's one of the rules, not only the age. The age is not enough.
So somebody's got to inspect him.
He can inspect himself. I ask him, do you have, look, you have two pubic hairs?
You believe it, he says.
Yeah. How come the one who doesn't hear cannot blow? Because he said, we make the bracha v'tzivanu lishmoya kol shofar. The mitzvah is to hear the blowing shofar. He commanded you to hear? No, you don't hear. He didn't command you to hear. He commanded only all those who hear to hear. If you can't hear, he didn't command you to hear. So you can't make the bracha. Someone who hears and not talk, afilu lechatchila, someone else can make the, if someone is mute, someone else lechatchila can make the bracha, and the mute guy will blow. If he knows how to blow beautifully, good. Says a deaf person who has he's not really deaf. Oh wow, that's like that. Sounds like it.
Continue mine.
Anyways, the whole road is black.
Biker.
I think if it is, it's that way.
Biker.
Nothing. Anyways, so a woman. What do we say? Yeah. Someone who's what are we saying?
You can.
Someone who hears with AIDS, he's chayav to hear the shofar.
He can blow us, right?
He goes to blow. He's chayav to hear. He can blow. Yeah? One second. Nah, it's not regular AIDS. If it's electronic AIDS, it can't be AIDS.
Say that over again.
If he cannot hear with, if he can hear only with electronic AIDS, he's not chayav. If he can hear, I guess they had all kinds of other AIDS which are not electronic, which make the sound just louder. And then they were able to hear, then he's chayav.
All electronic, the battery.
Today?
Yeah.
Well, when the Mishnah Berurah wrote it 100 years ago, 90 years ago. Like, he has some type of trumpet, he says. It's the shape of a trumpet, I don't know. Yeah, it's good we have this book over here. You know this book, this Ketshuvot? Beautiful. He brings all the practical of our days. Mishnah Berurah, good, it's very good, but I need to know. But usually most people, even if they don't hear very well, their hearing is low, even if they hear 20%, they hear. If you stand close enough, then it's loud enough. You hear? You be heard. If not, then you can't be heard. So
if they have a cochlear implant.
The what?
It's
the electronic?
It's electronic, so it goes directly into the nerves instead of the eardrum.
Yeah, but
then they're not using
it. If that's the only way they will hear, right. Without that, they won't hear at all.
Right.
So yeah, they're nice. But I think you have to see a percentage. Usually there's the machine that checks your hearing. It can see a percentage, how much percent of your hearing is used. And then through that, I guess you could know. I don't know exactly. Ask a rough. Okay. Halacha Gimel. Yeah. Isha Ptura. A woman is exempt from hearing the blowing of the shofar. We should have a mitzvah, it has magama, because it's a mitzvah to say that is bound by time. And every mitzvah is bound by time, like tefillin, as we pass in that halacha. Tefillin, and many, many things. She's patur. Right? Yeah. Where is it brought down? It's a Mishnah in Kiddushin. Yeah?
the blowing the shofar goes in an order. Are you just, are you okay if you just hear the sound of the shofar once? Like, let's say something happens. They're blowing the shofar, they start blowing the shofar, and riots occur. And all of a sudden, people's minds are everywhere. You know, they're not focused on the shofar. I don't know what happens to the person blowing the shofar. If his mind goes somewhere else.
Right.
So what happens if that, something like that goes on?
They should hear afterwards again.
Should start all over.
They have to hear, the minimum deraisa is 9, you said already. But we don't paskin to do 9. We paskin to do 30. Right. Why? There's all kind of shitas. What exactly the Gemara meant? So 30 is the minimum to be able to all the shitas. For sure, you heard 9. Could be also yotze. You heard 9 of tkiya, trua, tkiya. Trua, trua, three times. Trua, tkiya, trua, tkiya, three times. You yotze midoraisa. Ah, but maybe the trua is shvarim. Maybe it's shvarim trua together. That's the safek. That's what we have to hear 30 times. 30 times minimum. You heard 30? Couldn't say, short two. We do 100, there's all kinds of inyani why we do 100. But 30 is, that's what you heard it with. And even 9, if you just heard 9, good. If you heard 9, you won't make a bracha again, b'chla. Because the Raisa Yerzi, you can't make bracha stam.
And you can blow a shofar anywhere, including a bomb shelter?
Yeah, you can blow a shofar in the bomb shelter, of course. Mm-hmm. The problem is that we've learned that if you're outside the bomb shelter and you heard the echo, you're not yotze. Especially if the bomb shelter is on the ground. Klal, you're not yotze. So, it can be practical, you know? Unfortunately.
What?
It can be practical, back to those questions. You have there in a dekel, where do you live in the dekel? So you have the shul, the chabad shul in the bomb shelter.
Right.
At that's the end of the nice shul. I damn it if you're top. It says here, there's no mishtabu, this is Shulchan Aruch. It says like this. Verov anashim kiblu al atzmam leachmir lekeim mitzvat kiyat shofar. Most of the women, even though they're exempt from hearing the shofar, they're exempt, they're patu, they accept upon themselves hearing the blowing of shofar. Most women, it's true, right? They're very careful about it. Umiikar adin, dai lahem shishmeu shaloshim kolot. And miikar adin, it's enough for them to hear 30 kolot, 30 sounds of the shofar, which is tkiya, shvarim, trua, tkiya three times, tkiya, shvarim, tkiya three times, and tkiya, trua, tkiya three times. And then they yotze, and for sure they yotze, right? If she's able to hear everything, 100 kiyas, the best. If she's not able to hear any, she could be calm, because according to the Torah, she's not chayav, even though she accepted it for herself. Okay? Now, a woman is used to hearing every year, and suddenly she cannot hear, she has to do ataras nadari, because she took it upon herself, like it's a good thing that she's not obligated to do. Like, for example, a person who brings Shabbos in 40 minutes before, lives in Yerushalayim, 40 minutes before. His whole life he's doing this. Now he moves out of Yerushalayim, and he's a rabbi of a shul, and they do 20 minutes before. What could he do? Or he has a situation, he has to do a talis nedarim. Every good deed that you accept on yourself, you're not chayev on, you're not obligated to do it. Once you accept it on yourself, meaning you did it three times, you have to do a toras and darim in order to be exempt from it. So a woman who's used to hearing 3 years in a row, she hears the shofar blowing. She's makpid to hear. She's chayav to go and hear the shofar blowing. She has to stop for whatever reason. She has to do a toras and darim.
What if she never said it verbally?
No, mashana. Three times is already chazak.
Even if she took it on in her mind.
No, even if she didn't think about it, she went three times. She's chayav to hear.
It's as if she made it out.
Yeah.
So basically, all women are chayav then, because everybody comes to
shul. Yeah, if they go to shul every year, yeah. If they go to shul, so yeah. But anyways, we learned to talis nedarim. Elvah Hashanah, we do a talis nedarim. A woman could also go talis nedarim. He doesn't have to do it. She could also make her husband a shaliach. And then the husband, he says, that doesn't know, but then he says, and then whatever I said also for my wife. And then the people reply, the dayanim which reply, they reply in plural. Everything is a... Sfaradim b'chlal, they do four times a thousand dayanim. Yeah, Rosh Chodesh Elul, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, and sometime again, I don't know. We did four times, I think. Three times. I was once in the Dil, it's called in Jersey. Dil is a Syrian community there. It's like a ghetto. They're closed, enclosed. I was there once, and I remember he told him, come, we're doing Atalas Nadarim. And all the women were there also. I never saw you for Ashkenazi. So, whatever they do is good.
They have their own religion in India.
What?
They have their own religion in India.
Ooh, about religions, you want to hear? I had a great story about Yaakov Galinsky. That's a bigger Yaakov Galinsky. He wasn't so big. He was like this high, and I'm exaggerating, but he was big. Huge. I live with his grandson now in the credit. So anyways, they have a story about him that once he was walking in the street, and Yom HaShoah, the day that the state decided for some reason that that's the day they remember the Shoah. It's a problem that day. You know why? It's a Nisan. According to our religion, Judaism, we don't have any mourning during Nisan. We don't mourn during Nisan, Chas V'Shalom. You don't go to a cemetery if you're going to cry. If you're a relative, you should go before or after. Anyways, the state did whatever they want. So this guy, Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, the tzaddik, he's walking in the street during the siren going off. And this chiloni guy grabs him in the arm and tells him, why are you walking? You're disgracing the name of the people who were killed in the Holocaust, 6 million. He doesn't know what Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky went through. He was in Siberia for years and who knows what he suffered. So Rabbi Yaakov told him, no, I'm not religious. And he's dressed black and everything. So he left up. Oh, you're not religious. Yeah, not religious. What do you mean? You look very. Are you? So he asked, tell me, when you hear the siren going off on Arab Shabbos, do you run, close the store, and run to shul? He says, no. He says, why not? There's a siren. He says, yeah, well, I'm not religious. He says, okay, you're not religious. I'm not religious. I'm not your religion. You're not my religion. I'm not your religion. You all have the other. Why do I have to stand your religion? I don't keep your religion. You keep it. And then he told him, by the way, it's not my religion, it's God's religion.
Right after 9/11, Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky said, I never believed the Twin Towers will be shorter than me.
Oh, he was a big anav. You know, he used to get chuppah and kiddushim. He was afraid that they would get covered. He was very scared of it. He used to run up before everyone, and he grabbed the microphone and said, for siddur chuppah kiddushim, mechubad, me, the genius. Everyone used to laugh, and now we'll get away all the covers. The genius me used to say. Big tzaddik.
The book that came out with about his son, about him.
Which book? He has two sons, which are big blessed of a Hasidim, very big. One of them was Nifter already, he had cancer. Died maybe 12 years ago. Oh. Big tzaddik. He's basically my neighbor, and Emmanuel. I remember him. I know all the children also. All his grandchildren of Galinsky, I know a lot of them. They're all geniuses. They're all kishroni. Kisharon is a talent. All talented and namash. They're very special people. They're not all short. No, I know a lot of them. They're not so short. Anyways,
is your book out for him?
I don't know. Stop, Rabbeinu. We finished with halacha over here today. Yeah, we learned about women. You can tell your wives that they're obligated to go, not midoraisa, just because they accepted it by themselves. And if they don't want to, they could get rid of it. They could do atalas nedarim. If they see they might won't be able to for some reason, right? So they should do atalas nedarim. And when you do atalas nedarim of a specific thing, you have to mention it. It's not like we do atalas nedarim in general for all the things that I remember. No. It tells them specific. You have to say to go to Dayani, three people, and say I did this and this and this. I want to nullify it, and then they nullify it for you. Not a problem.
But there are enough minions that normally the woman could hear it again.
Yeah, and also a lot of times people go around so in the hospitals and every place. Yeah, besides that, I'm just saying.
But let's say so 2 days.
Yeah, But the first day is the ikur.
Now, what about a woman actually blowing?
A woman blowing?
Right.
For herself and for other women, okay.
For herself?
Yeah. For herself and for other women, she's a gibiyatza. Might see a mitzvah.
Now, what about for a mixed crowd? Men and women?
She can be mitzvah with men. She can be mitzvah men.
Is
a place.
See,
no, she can't be mighty for her essence of who she is.
She could hear a man blowing.
Of course. She should hear a man blowing. She can't be mighty other men. She can be mighty other women, other men. Like in Kiddush. A Kiddush. A Kiddush, she can be mighty herself and other women. But she can't be mighty other men.